Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, June 23rd, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
I'm good, man.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
Outstanding. It's a pleasure to be here. It's been a few days.
Yeah. So welcome back.
Thanks.
And our sponsor today is Atlassian, which is pretty great. We'll talk about them soon. But I thought that since we've been getting some listener feedback about the whole Alicia Keys concert thing, that it's about time to dive into that. So to bring everyone up to speed, we discussed a couple days ago Alicia Keys and how at her concerts, she's doing this thing that when you show up with your smartphone to get into the show, they put your phone into a bag. It's locked. You keep the bag. And if you need to get your phone out, you have to leave the concert venue. They unlock the bag for you. You can use your phone, but you can't go back in until your phone is locked away in the bag again. And my feeling was, I don't want to go to a concert where someone else has taken control of my phone like that. John Martellaro basically flipped out, thinking it was the most horrible idea ever. And Brian, you weren't keen on the idea.
I am not keen on the idea.
Wow, I am extremely keen on this idea.
Well, then I'm really glad that you're on the show today.
I don't know if you want to start with listener comments or start with me, but I think this is a great idea.
Well, go ahead, tell me why this is a great idea.
Well, for many reasons, right? Number one, I go to a lot of concerts, right? And I hate it when I am behind the person who feels like they're the official videographer of the event, and I have to watch the show certainly with their iPhone as a distraction in front of me because they're holding it up nice and high, you know, to get it over everybody, and or have to watch the show through their iPhone, which is what they're doing. So that just in and of itself bothers me. You know, people taking pictures are fine as long as it's, you know, quick. But the people that just have their phones up throughout the whole show, it's just, to me, that seems like a weird way to experience a concert. It's like, you know, put it away and enjoy the show.
Ain't your call, sir.
What's that?
Ain't your call, sir.
No, yeah.
No, that ain't your call.
No, but that's not my call. No, I get that. But the distraction of it is.
Yes.
And so, you know, it not only do I see this, it's like it seems weird to me, but it actually bothers me in that it impedes my ability to enjoy the show. Also impeding my ability to enjoy the show are the people that are constantly just dicking around on their iPhones throughout the show with their screens at like brightness 11. And shining this bright light up so everyone can see, and that you may not think that that's a widespread problem, but for some reason in the last year, that in and of itself has become a problem. Even if the people don't see themselves as the official videographers of the show, just having these bright lights shining up while people that are bored and didn't want to be there, it's just having someone like that in front of me is just as distracting at a show as the person behind me who had a little too much to drink and feels like now is exactly the time they need to tell their friend this awesome story.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine if that happens in front of me. Behind me is where it's a problem because their voices are actually, you know, aimed right at my ears, essentially, is how that works. So I think there's not a whole lot we can do about other than not serving alcohol at concerts, which is a huge cash cow for the concert industry. So that's not going to happen. But stopping people from having these bright lights shining in my eyes during the show. Yeah, that's a good thing.
So listen, I get all that. And I get the aspect of how this is interfering with your experience.
Right.
Right. I get that. Part of my problem and the reason why I was up in arms when we talked about this a couple of days ago is that this isn't the reason why Alicia Keys is doing this. Alicia Keys is not interested in protecting your experience. She's interested in protecting her precious IP.
Yep. Well, I get that too.
And you know, that ship has sailed, and you know, this is the modern reality, and screw you.
So I've been at shows where they have effectively banned iPhones, right, or any smartphones, and the way it's happened for me is I've just been told if you take it out, you will be asked to leave, and there's two shows I can remember. One, unfortunately, I didn't get into, but it was when Prince played at South by Southwest. I didn't hit the lottery on that one, but the rule for that show, as I believe most Prince shows, was your phone shall not come out of your pocket, and if it does, then you shall come out of the venue. When I saw Green Day play, also at South by Southwest, so essentially a free ticket. You paid for whatever you paid to get into the South by Southwest festival, and then this Green Day show was again done by lottery for people that were in attendance. So you didn't pay anything expecting to get into this show, right?
Okay.
And it was their first show in like a year and a half, and more specifically, it was their first show after Billy Joe, their singer, had come out of rehab. He had a big meltdown at the iHeartRadio Festival in front of millions. Whether there were iPhones there or not was irrelevant. It was broadcast, and he had a major meltdown, and then wound up in rehab, which obviously is what he needed. But this was their first show, and it was the first show in his life that he would be playing sober. So no one walking into that venue, including the band, really knew how this was going to go. And they were, and ironically, this was at the Austin City Limits Theater, where there are cameras. I mean, the whole place was built with cameras as the first priority. All of those were off. The show was not filmed. And again, the same thing was made clear. Your iPhone shall not come out of your pocket. And there were security guards everywhere policing this.
See, I'm also okay with that approach. What I'm not okay with is the idea of having my iPhone in a pouch controlled by someone else, and my mother has fallen and hurt herself. Right? And I don't get to know that, and I can't find out, you know, it's that lack of control that makes me tense. The idea that if your iPhone's going to come out, you're going to get ejected, that's fine, because I can always walk out and pull it out and use it, and you could do that with the pouch system too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's just there's just so much
So I can solve. I have two things to say about your problem, because your problem is a real problem, kind of, except that, you know, 10 years ago, probably not a problem, right?
Irrelevant, completely and totally irrelevant.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, again, this goes back to you saying it's not my call. But if everybody in the concert is distracted with something else, you know, come on, it's 2 hours. Enjoy the show. And if you're that worried about your mother, then probably best not to go to a show. You know what I mean?
Is that anyone else's call either? I mean, it's one thing when I'm interfering with your appreciation of the show. I totally get that.
Sure.
It's another thing when you're deciding the parameters under which I can enjoy the show. Well, I don't get that.
You could wear an Apple Watch, and you could get your text message on there, or you could get a pager, and they still exist, right? But I mean, but the Apple Watch is probably more realistic.
Even still, I would much prefer the idea of knowing that I'm going to get ejected from pulling my device out than having my device be subjected to control.
Yeah, you want the control in your hands, not theirs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find it to be stunningly narcissistic on Ms. Key's part to take this approach. It really bothers me.
There's a whole startup, you know, that makes these pouches.
Yeah, she's using their pouches.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And the startup, they started making the bags because of the distractions from the concert going experience.
Okay. That's interesting that was their catalyst to this. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, to me, that makes more sense. Yeah, but it doesn't. I would, regardless of the reason, I personally would be happy to see all phones tucked away during a show. That Green Day show was awesome. It was only a couple of years ago. So smartphones, especially at South by Southwest, but pretty much in general in life, were prevalent. And it was a real pleasure. And I got to say, the crowd was totally into it. You know, eliminating that distraction as an artist on stage. Now, I see value in people taking pictures and recording video and then sharing that video, right? I mean, I actually think that's a good thing for artists. And I think Alicia Keys is being short-sighted on this particular point. But it is distracting to see that your crowd is not paying attention.
Sure.
If for any reason, mm-hmm. it could be two people having a conversation because one of them had too much to drink and needs to tell his friend a story right now. I've certainly seen that happen at shows.
Yeah, but I experienced that 20 years ago.
Correct.
You know,
it didn't make me happy then, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the cell phone is not necessarily the cause of that particular distraction.
No.
Some people are jerks and they talk during shows.
Yeah, right.
Loudly.
Right.
Yep, that's true. All right, so I'm going to read a listener comment that totally fits in with your side of this, Dave. And this is from Donna, and she says that for as much as she loves her technology, she totally agrees with Alicia's decision. And she says, it's so disturbing in movies, concerts, etc., to have people constantly on their phones, whether using them for photo, video, or text, to check in wherever, surf the web, etc. Live in the moment, people, and enjoy the event that you came to see. And she goes on and says more that backs that up. But that's the gist of it right there. She totally agrees with you, Dave.
Preach on, Sister Donna. Yep.
All right. So then we kind of have the middle ground, and this would be the Mac Mommy, and hi, it's cool to know that other people in our community are listening to the show. So that's totally awesome. Okay. And what she says is that requesting no cameras ahead of time is reasonable, but she's with us that she wouldn't attend a show that separates her from her emergency service. And then when we go to the other end of the spectrum, Lauren, who writes in a lot, so thanks for doing that. Lauren says, bad idea. I'll just download the video of the concert from YouTube.
That's the flip side of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So Dave, I'm really glad that you're on the show today so that you could bring a dissenting view, which I'm always glad to have.
As a frequent concert goer, I don't feel like people can be left to be responsible about this. And again, I'm supporting Alicia Keys' decision. I'm not necessarily backing her reasons for getting there. I have very different reasons for this, which I've explained. But people cannot be responsible with their phones at most shows. It's just it that has been proven to me time and again. And I probably see you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 concerts a year. And at 100% of them, enough people are irresponsible with their phones such that it negatively impacts me and most people around me. You know, I often bond with my seatmates about the jerk in front of us that's, you know, the official videographer of that particular show. And why their brightness needs to be on, like, super 11. They found, like, a secret setting that some engineer put in there to get it even brighter. Why they have to use that, I still don't understand. But, you know.
And then salt in the wound, they're holding their phone vertically.
Oftentimes, yes. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Atlassian. And I think that's pretty cool because they make some really great products that make it easier for you to manage your projects, whether that's just a group project that you're handling remotely, or if it's, say, a coding project and you have a bunch of people that need to check out pieces of code for an app you're developing, work on them, and then check them back in. if you need to do bug tracking, everyone that needs to communicate in real time about the project needs to figure out what's been assigned to them. Atlassian makes all that stuff. And that would be their apps, Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket. So what you should do is go check them out, because first, you may be using some of them and not realize that they have these other great products. Or second, maybe you didn't realize what Atlassian did. So hit their website and check it out. Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. And check out their products, because they're making some stuff that's really useful. And I'm betting there's a good chance that they're making something that you need. So thank you, Atlassian, for being our sponsor. Okay, so since we are in listener response mode, we have another topic that we need to jump back to, and this would be APFS, and that is Apple's new file system that they've developed for the Mac, for iOS, for Apple TV, and Apple Watch. And it has some really cool things in it. We talked about this some yesterday with John. He dove like really deep into some of this stuff for us, which was awesome. You know, so there's like improved security, and there is a system for hopefully protecting our files better, which makes John really happy, because he sees this as potentially the end of Time Machine. And but anyhow, so that led to some comments, and one of those came from Paul, and he said that he thought that maybe what Apple had done was looked at ZFS for inspiration and built APFS from there. And ZFS is a file system that Apple was looking at one point, but I don't think like seriously as a replacement for HFS Plus.
Actually, I think they did. I think they went pretty deep on that.
Oh, okay.
At Apple, a different team though than the one that created that created APFS. If that helps.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dave, you have an answer for Paul and his thought that maybe APFS is based on ZFS.
Well, yeah, and he has good reason to come to that conclusion. He said it seems APFS is just an Apple version of ZFS, from the encryption to deduplication of snapshots. And then he says, I think the file system will initially be available only on Time Machine drives. That's a safe way to add it to the OS without the downside that comes with bugs in a file system. So to say that this is just an Apple version of ZFS isn't entirely wrong, but it's not entirely right. It certainly has some features that exist in ZFS, but that's about as far as it goes. And Adam Leventhal, so ZFS came out in 2005. At Sun. And I believe Adam Leventhal was one of the engineers working on it. If not, then his history was hard for me to kind of dissect, but I'm pretty sure he worked on it in some significant capacity and is hyper aware of it, and was at WWDC, not only at the keynote, but at the session where Apple's engineers who led the team that created ZFS talked about it. And he asked some questions, and then it sounds like he politely cornered them afterwards and probably grilled them for about 2 hours on this. But on one of his blog posts, and he writes at dtrace.org, he writes, the Apple file system was itself started in 2014 with Dominic Giampaolo as its lead engineer. It's a standalone from scratch implementation. He says, I asked him about looking for inspiration from other modern file systems, such as, and he lists many, including ZFS. And he says, all of which have features similar to what Apple file system intends to deliver. And he says, as a note, Apple built a fairly complete port of ZFS, though Dominic was apparently not involved in the group that did it or advocated for it. He says, Dominic explained that, well, as a self-described file system guy, he was aware of these projects. He didn't delve too deeply for fear, he said, of tainting himself.
Hmm.
Now, Dominic built the file system in BIOS, B-E-O-S, which Apple sort of, you know, pushed aside when it purchased Next Step instead. You know, so mm-hmm. that's... But Dominic stuck around, and obviously that's a good thing, because he and his team have created, I think they started this, he said, what, in 2014. So they've got a file system. It typically takes, you know, what, 5, maybe 10 years to get a file system to maturity to the point where it's ready to be released. Mm-hmm. And Apple has done it in 2.5. That's what Apple does. It is stunning. Yeah. And I, from everything I read and understand about this, it seems like it is very, very close to being complete. So, will it roll out in Time Machine initially? It could. It certainly solves, Time Machine certainly takes advantage of a lot of the things that ZFS will, or that APFS will solve.
Dead giveaway.
What's that? Yeah, exactly.
Give away.
But I don't know. It would seem the biggest benefit will be when you're running APFS on your main drive, and then Time Machine takes on a whole different flavor because it can do things like create snapshots for backups and things like that. So. HFS Plus, we've known for years, is really awful for Time Machine solely because the whole concept that it's based upon, which is hard links, that is many, many pointers pointing to exactly the same file data, is not a native feature of HFS Plus. It's a native feature of many file systems, including many pretty mature file systems, but not HFS Plus. So they had to sort of bolt that on. And as the engineers tell me, it's actually bolted on with like a text file that's written in the headers of the volume, which just sounds so scary to me.
Oh man. Okay, so I feel a lot less secure about my Time Machine backups.
Well, yeah, that right. It was built, they bolted it on not because of Time Machine. They bolted it on because they needed that functionality and thought, okay, well, we can do it this way. And you know, as long as somebody's not using more than like 100 of these hard links on a file, on a volume, it'll be fine. And then that way you just get this functionality you're very used to with all these other Unix file systems, and it's great. And then somebody at Apple elsewhere said, awesome, we have hard links. We can use those while we're developing this Time Machine thing. I don't know if they didn't know that was how it worked in the file system at the time. But yeah, I had an engineer come up to me actually years ago at a session at Macworld, and they were like, yeah, dude, here's something you need to know. I was like, oh, that's so scary. Yeah. So
I bet something he needed to know.
Yeah, but something, right. Yeah, you know, so anyway, yeah, it's good stuff. Who knows? Maybe it was, I don't know. I don't want to say who I think it was. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
No.
Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up.
Sure.
Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for letting me monopolize the show.
No, that's all right. You haven't been on for a little while, so you had your word quota to catch up on. Well done.
Yeah. Thanks.
Brian, thank you for being here.
You're most welcome, and I have a horn-happy train engineer out there.
So yeah, well, it's because he's happy you're on the show, too.
I've been muted for a while.
He heard us talking about engineers and wanted to join in the fun.
I totally get that. Yeah, all aboard. Hey, Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Go check out their website, atlassian.com. Listeners, thank you for being here, and thanks for all the awesome feedback. I totally love that you guys are more than willing to let me know what you think. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.